I've been going to a lot of concerts as of late. Whether it's up in Baltimore when I saw Silent Planet, or I went to Philly to go see Fit for a King, or like some local places I've been going to a lot. But there's one that I want to go to so bad, but unfortunately it's $200 a fucking ticket.
Damn.
And it's Vans Warped Tour 2026.
Warped Tour in general?
Our Warped Tour specifically in DC why would I look at the other ones? I can't go to them.
No, I get that. I thought it was multiple days and all that crap.
No, it is. Yeah, it's a 2-day thing. So I guess you're spending $100 a day. But yeah. If my wife and I were to go, that would be $400.
And then you got to pay for a hotel and
yeah. So I mean, we live close enough to DC. I don't know if a hotel would be necessary, but dude, the lineup of this show is amazing. They have everything from what's one of them on here? Coheed and Cambria is fucking on here.
Okay, yeah, that's already sick.
Yep. They have From First to Last, if you remember that band. Glassjaw, Gwar is going to be there.
Oh, fuck yeah.
Okay, this is sounding already kind of worth it.
The OG emo band, Hawthorne Heights, is going to be there.
What?
Yep. Jimmy Eat World.
Wow.
Nice.
There was another one. Norma Jean, one of my favorite bands. Plain White Tees, Rise Against. I might go just for Rise Against.
Oh, yeah.
Holy shit. Suicide Silence. I'm just naming the ones that I care about. I don't care about you guys. Taking Back Sunday. Devil Wears Prada. There's only two. There's two bands that they haven't released yet. But they got like Yellow Card, Thrice, Third Eye Blind. I mean.
Whoa. My boy, Thrice?
Thrice is going to be there. Yeah.
What?
That's the one. That's the one that Hannah was like, Thrice is going to be there. It made her almost want to spend the $400.
Yeah.
But holy shit, dude. It's like a lot of the bands that I would have seen in my first Warped Tour are on this one. And I'm like, shit, maybe I'll go and take my kid.
I mean, that's completely understandable.
Oh my gosh, but like it's just seeing this lineup and like seeing this, and I'm just like, maybe I get to see these bands again. Like, you know, it's just amazing. It's amazing. So if I am all of a sudden like, hey, I need some money, it's because I spent $400.
For a worthy cause.
And there's so many good ones on this list you didn't even say.
That's what I was saying. I was like, there's like 100 bands, and you know,
I went through a huge Rise Against phase a while ago.
I remember being at Warped Tour. I think it was my first or second year. I went for like 4 years in a row, and I remember going to, I think it was the Devil Wears Prada, their show, and I ended up getting in the pit. I gave my phone to my girlfriend, okay, because I was like, my phone's gonna break if I'm in the pit, right? And so later, my friends, the show ended, or their concert ended, and then I was like walking around like, where the fuck are my friends? I didn't have my phone to call them. And I found them like an hour later, and they were like, dude, we couldn't find you. And I was like, I was at that show. And I had like, I think my nose was bloody or my lip was bloody, and I had like dirt in my teeth. Like, I looked like a mess. And then they were like, we literally went to the medical tent for you because we didn't know where you were. And I was like, I'm
fine. Wasn't there because I'm not weak.
I was like, I won. But yeah, getting to see bands like this again is just awesome. I love being able to see the bands that you went 10, 20 years ago, and now we're seeing them again. I'm so excited for it.
Man, God, honestly, I was just, when you were talking about festival and stuff like that, because I mean, honestly, I'll say one of my favorite concerts I've ever been to was probably when I saw Rammstein. That was,
yeah,
fucking,
yeah,
it was an experience.
That's the kind of band that is an experience.
Yeah,
that's how I say it. I think I sent pictures, God knows how many years ago that was. It was like they had, you know, all the flags up and all that stuff, but the pyrotechnics. Jesus. Like, I was pretty far back, like, because they had, like, I think it was, I forget what they called it. It was something in German. It was, like, the Flammen seats or something. Basically, okay. It was basically where the pit was, but it was, center. They have these pyrotechnics set up. And, you know, you're far enough away, like, in the stands. I was like, it's not going to I'm not gonna feel it. No, when those pyrotechnics, I was like, oh god, this is a heat wave. I can't even imagine what the people out down there are feeling.
Yeah, right, yeah.
But, like, honestly, it's just something because I, like it's just one of those things of, like, everyone knows the fucking words. Half of them, like, at this point, because a lot of the people going, people from high school, like, around that age that listen to Du Hast, when that came on, he barely, like,
it's the
they barely had to sing it half the time.
Yeah, it's the equivalent of when Journey plays "Don't Stop Believin'." Like it's like
yeah. but like I said, the pyrotechnics were fantastic. I mean, shit, it was like God, like when they were playing Mind Tile, which you know, fun story about two cannibals in Germany. But it okay. was but yeah, so they enacted sort of the thing on stage and had the one guy get into a giant pot while. The lead singer, which I'm blanking on his name, I really hate that I forgot his name right now. Linderman, goes out with a flamethrower and like uses it to cook him and stuff like that. And
that sounds like a gore show, dude.
Oh my god. Well, I mean, I can send stuff later. Of videos live, but yeah, no god, that was honestly one of my favorite concerts.
So the question for the group, what is the craziest thing that you've seen or done at a concert? The show that John and I went to, the Silent Planet show, I think it was a year or two now.
That was, like that.
When somebody got engaged, like in the pit. And I remember just being like, what's everybody looking at? And then I see that there was a woman with like a camera and I was like, what's she doing? Why is she on that guy's shoulders? There's somebody like getting engaged, and I'm just like, you're never gonna forget that moment. I was like, that's awesome.
Yeah, I felt bad for kicking the guy in the back of the head.
I told you not to do that. I don't know why.
Hey, it was really his fault. Yeah, we've gone to a couple of concerts in Baltimore. You know, really, I kind of stick to the outskirts of things like that, so I don't really. Because I'm boring now, my old age.
Nah, man, you need to get in there in that pit.
God knows I'm big enough.
I don't know. I'm kind of with John. Like, back in maybe, like, college, I was fine doing it. But at a certain point, like, I'm just seeing people, like, throwing elbows and shit. Like, I went one festival I went to, Mayhem Fest. That was, oh, God, what was it? Cannibal Corpse was there. So it was me and this guy next to me. We're both just headbanging constantly. And I swear I feel like I got a concussion just by doing that. Oh,
the whiplash in your neck.
Oh, my God. Because you see Corpse Grinder on stage, and the dude, his neck is so goddamn thick. You can't strangle him. I don't think you could.
No.
But he said, you motherfuckers want to challenge me? Come on, do it! And then we're just all
you're
like,
you're gonna lose, don't do it.
Don't do that.
Pretty much. Yeah, no, we don't do it. We lost. Like, we hugged each other at the end because we were both dizzy. We were like, dude, I need a drink badly. He's like, yeah, same. It was so much fun, though.
I go to so few concerts. I mean, I don't think I've been to a concert since the last time we probably ever talked about concerts. So, I've probably told all my stories at this point. Radiohead, Decemberists. Ben Folds, whatever. All like 10 plus years ago, 15 years ago.
Kel, there's Warped Tour right there, buddy.
I just don't go to concerts anymore. It's not that I don't like them, it's just I don't do it. I'm lame. Yeah, I'm lame and boring.
I want to say I have like two concerts coming up that I'm going to, so I'll have to check back in. Because nothing really crazy happens at the concerts that I have been to in the past, so.
I like just going to Ren Fair and just listening to music.
That is a concert.
That's my concert experience.
That is.
There you go.
I mean, were you there at that time that security had to wrestle a guy out and, like, carry him out?
No.
No?
Mm-mm.
I told you not to tell that story about me, Jake.
I don't remember what happened, but like security, like some guy was just throwing a fit, and security wrestled him to the ground and started walking him out. And he was like, "I paid to be here," and then they were like, "Shut up."
I was really hip, and it was two guards in full plate,
like, right?
Leading him out.
Stop! You violated the law.
Took him to the stockade. I'm hanging there.
Die! Then pay with your blood.
If the Renfair actually had two dudes in full plate escorting you out or dragging you out, I feel like a lot of people would do it just for the experience. I know I would.
Yeah.
They would ruin it.
Please take me to prison.
Get it on video.
Yeah. Go viral.
The title of the video, like it, how I got arrested by two medieval guards or whatever.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Well, you guys fought four guards to get into this impromptu prison last time. So you guys broke down the door. No, I don't think you broke down the door, but you made your way in. You fought four guards that were fucking slugging at you. And then the fight ended and you got into this room where there are iron bars placed around the room in cage patterns. And there was a woman in there. She was going, "Water, please." And when you guys made eye contact, she realized that you were not the guards that were keeping her here. And she was like, "What? Who are you?"
And Garn said, "Who are you?"
And she revealed herself to be Algrit. Algrit, of course, being the woman that the mercantile guild leader sent you to go look for. Now, this is, of course, after the fact that you guys have found out that, like, the letter she had given saying that she was, like, pregnant, she was trying to keep it a secret, was a forgery and stuff like that. So, like, yeah, so you knew that, like, there something was amiss, and clearly she is here, and did not run away from some unexpected pregnancy.
And just presuming, like, these are locked doors and all that stuff, or, like...
Yes, yeah. Okay. They're all cages.
Okay, I just kind of was curious, like, if they were trying to keep her sated somehow, like, oh, look, yeah, I mean, we'll come and... you know, keep you trapped in here, but, like, the doors... I don't know, like, I was just trying to think of make sure they weren't trying to get her out somewhere, but...
And just do me a favor and remind me, do we know why they kidnapped her yet, or...
No. So, the thing, though, is that when you guys walk in and she reveals herself to be Algrit, she is one played by Ruth Wilson, by the way. She was in His Dark Materials, Jane Eyre, some other stuff. And she just looks up at you, and she's just like, "What's going on? You're not guards."
Oh yes, far from it. And he's going to slip into Dwarven a bit just to try to make her as comfortable as possible.
Okay,
but yes. So, okay, we actually are here for Dalkinder. He was a bit concerned about you.
Ah, that old coot. Always scares, but I know some things.
Oh.
It would seem that we had a good reason to be concerned, because you are behind bars and we are not. How did you get here?
Well, I will tell you that I have some information. I need to take the Hammer Song right now. If you are here to help me, I would appreciate being broken out of here so I can put these men. And then she kind of looks and sees down the hallway, perhaps, and sees one of the bodies, and she goes, "Oh, I suppose justice has been dealt then."
It seems we beat you to the punch there. But do you have any idea why these men or guards took you hostage?
I was getting too close to something, and now I know what's going on. That's why I need to go to Hammersong right now. You see, they brought me into their trap. But now I'm here, and I have all the information I need.
Does it involve a lover's quarrel on a honeymoon, by chance?
No, not quite. I was snooping around, thinking something was afoot.
Wait! It's the underground betting ring, isn't it?
Those happen regularly. I have information of something much, much deeper than that.
deeper than underground betting rings. What?
Well, we must take out the keys, Gizrim.
Well, who needs keys? And Garn just takes out his morning star and just starts bashing on the lock.
Just takes out his hammer and just drops it right on her head, kills her instantly. She's free now.
What is more free than from this mortal coil?
Kezra peeks out the door to make sure nobody hears someone smashing metal doors in with a fucking morning star.
Oh, wait, Kezra, don't you have some sort of skeleton key or something?
Well, I thought we found a key on one of the bodies, too.
You did, yeah.
Anything but just the actual keys for Garn.
Anything's a key when you have a morning star.
Turn into a dragon and rip the bars from the wall.
Who is skilled in the thieving arts?
Quickly, find dynamite.
Top of the pillar of heaven onto these iron rods.
Ding, 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 ding.
I mean, if anything. But, well, actually, since we're letting her out, I'm assuming, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, I'm gonna do a perception on her to make sure she's not a shape-shifting fiend, and now that Mark has sowed doubt into my mind.
Oh, yeah, that happens.
I got a 28.
28. If she is one, she's really good.
Dang it. So Garn now is eyeing her suspiciously. How do we know you are who you say you are? What if you are part of the trap?
Please ignore him. He's a bit weird.
is he fucking daft?
Just a bit.
He did take a lot of shots to the head in that foot.
I mean, yes, we were slugging it out quite a bit. We're actually surprised we're still alive. Question, did you see another dwarf, male, around here as well?
So the thing is that I did not see him, but I heard him.
Is he beyond that door?
The door back there, no. That is, if you go back there, a dreary storeroom was used to house materials, but is now empty.
Mm-hmm.
So, it appears to be just some empty boxes now.
I locked the door behind Garn. Damn it.
Too quick.
What kind of things did you hear?
Well, I heard them talking about product and shipments. I put myself right into the thick of this. I'm thinking that they were trying to sell me in some way to someone, but I don't know who.
The Scarlet Triad.
Ah, see, that's my thinking, is that there's some group behind all this. They couldn't possibly get away with just selling people on the streets here.
Yes, they're called the Scarlet Triad.
Why did you say it twice?
Because you said there's some group, and I'm telling you who the group is. Like, this is our whole express purpose.
Like
of
I said,
here.
He took a couple of shots to the head there.
He found out lay on hands doesn't cure concussions quite immediately.
she takes a lantern and like waves it in front of your eyes and goes, "Oh God, no!"
There's no dilation of the pupils at all.
Garn just blinks once, like both eyes kind of blink different times.
Yeah, like a frog. Yeah. Oh no, he needs a medical professional right away.
He is a medical professional.
Oh shit, we're screwed.
He just keeps drinking out of this horn and he says it heals him.
Yes, medical professionals. They're called the Scarlet Triad.
Oh, God.
So she asks for an escort to Hammersong right away.
Oh yeah. What should we do about the bodies?
Put them in the storeroom.
I think, as a great philosopher said, fuck them. Let's leave.
Well, once we tell Hammersong what's happening here, he'll be able to clean up the bodies. And,
I'm not afraid of the city council cleaning up the bodies. I'm afraid of the Scarlet Triad finding them. They'll know immediately what's up. They'll know what's wrong when you're gone. But seeing the bodies there, we really want to tip our hand.
Well, how about we take the bodies, put them back in the storeroom, and lock the door like nothing has ever happened to you.
I agree. That is a good compromise. Alright, and Garn just slugs them back there.
Okay. You pile all the dwarf bodies back there. I assume you do it in a hilarious fashion.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Like, it's like, you know, I'm like, you know, riding one, slipping around on their organs and entrails.
Benson and Kezra are standing back 10 feet. They grab one by the ankles and try to hit it from 15 feet away. Just, But they're bouncing off of the door frame, gunking in.
Gotta pivot.
Alright. So she is clearly very weak and emaciated. So
how long had it been? I didn't think it was more than it wasn't like a week, right?
It's been no longer than a week without, you know, proper food and water.
Yeah, I was gonna say, because like even if it was, let me see how long it was.
Been gone for a week.
Yeah. I was gonna say, I think it's been about a week. Now the guy that you're looking for, Zymak, he had been missing longer.
Okay. No, I'm saying Zymak was gone for a week, so that means Alkert was gone for less than a week. Okay.
Yeah. So she was, or maybe it was two and then one or whatever. But the way you figure this out though is the fact that she says that like she was off investigating Zymak, and then followed some clues and stumbled across this place. Stumbled across this place, started poking around, and then as I tried to walk away, they said, "What do you need?" And I said, "Oh, I'm looking in this place. I've followed some clues," and then they knocked me out, and I woke up in that cell.
So that was your first problem, was admitting that you were looking for clues. But let's get you to Hammersong as quick as possible.
You need to come up with a more elaborate ruse, like you're, trying to get the daily cover for a newspaper or a magazine, you know, just scouting out places to pose for a painting.
Why, that's genius, I should have said.
Yes.
Everybody else on the call looked at us like we're idiots.
Yes, you should.
Right, so you take her back to Hammersong.
So, as you guys are walking, she pretty much explains that she had, Dolgindir was suspicious of what was going on too, because the fact that like somebody just doesn't disappear like that in this city. He had asked her to go looking because she's witty, she's smart, she can find her way. And then that had all happened. She was investigating this as sort of like an intermediary between the guilds and stuff like that. But with what had happened, and because she heard all the stuff about like, oh, you know, we're gonna sell her. She's great product or whatever. She was like, I know what's going on. And now she's bringing it to Hammersong because there's no way that these guys are working independently because of how organized they were. You guys get to the main barracks. There are a bunch of guards walking around. Let me show you guys. Let's see. Isaac. There he is. There it is.
Ah.
That is Commander Grokgar Hammersong. So this was the guy that you had impressed easily when he had talked about he was like the battle master essentially.
Right.
And so he is a very, very busy man. So when you get in, it's clearly just all military too. He cannot find him at first, but there's like a person at the front desk who's just like, there's guards walking about and everything, and one of the guards stops on their on the patrol in the front, and they're like, "Halt! What can I help you with?"
"Surely you recognize a member of the council, Algret."
Algret was a member of the council, or no?
No.
Man, there's many people on this council.
Oh, God.
yeah, guard is being gone. Shall you recognize this member of the council, Algret? Let us in at once.
They just like look at him.
She goes, "This man needs medical attention. He thinks I'm a member of the council."
Speaking of a member of the council, we're looking for a member of the council here.
You're looking for Hammersong?
Yes.
He's a busy man. It might be some time. Do you mind taking a seat inside the barracks? I'll see if I can find him for you. What your names?
I am cousin to Frasten Stoneborn, Garn Stoneborn.
Cousin of Stoneborn. Okay. Okay. Well, let me see if I can find him, and then the one guy continues his patrol while he goes off and looks. And so she leans over to you and she goes, "I really think you have a concussion. I'm not going to lie to you."
Well, how's the medical staff? People keep saying it's me.
So they didn't take you inside to the infirmary. They can see that you have dealt with combat as of late. I don't know how much you guys healed up, but they heal you.
They heal you
whatever you need.
And I just start rambling. And like the way that I'm rambling, there is like mixtures of past and present that they're like. Like, you know, I go from like, "Oh, the dwarves, they were slugging at us," and then that demon that just came from the south side of the hill, and they never knew it was coming. And he just like is like a little kind of loopy, because he did take quite a few hits to the head. And then by the end of it, he kind of like is restored. He kind of like comes back to himself, and he was like, just the wandering tales of an old soldier. Pay no mind to me."
As he's talking up the nurses and the doctors helping him, they're like, "Uh-huh, okay." "And would you say that person's name was?" And they're clearly just getting him to talk while they're performing, you know, the things on him.
Keep talking, yeah. keep him talking, don't let him fall asleep.
Eventually, Hammersong finds you all. And he sees all the bloody rags and stuff like that that they were using to, like, you know, stitch you guys up and everything. And he just goes, "What the hell happened to you all? Here, I thought you were doing something for your cousin, Stoneborn."
"Yes, it is not unlike Fraston to set me upon a task that seems easy and fun at first, but ends up in the shedding of blood."
"What? Did he even send you it?" "Did he send you it in the haunted city, completely naked, did he?"
"I wish we had met such an easy fate. That I could handle. What I couldn't handle is fighting my own brethren here in these walls. That was what I did not expect."
"What? Explain yourself."
And he motions to Algrit. I'm like, "She will be able to tell you more. For that is who we found. You can see she's in rough shape."
"Algrit, you've been missing for some time." And Algrit just goes, "Hammersong, you don't know the first bit of it." And she goes into this tale about, like, what she's endured for the past week or however long it's been now. And, like, the things that she's heard, the way she's been treated. But, like, she kind of just held out because she knew that she was getting information. And she knew that, like, even if she got transferred or even if she got transported somewhere, she knew that she would get more information. So she was, like, fine with where she was at. But she was also being tortured and beaten and all that kind of stuff while it was happening. So she's a tough nugget, she is. And so Hammersong is just like, "Okay, so you're telling me that there's some house down up in the northeast area, the crap, what district was that called?
Fire and Earth? Earth Fire District."
"Yeah. Yes. The Earth Fire District, it's just an abandoned house." And she goes, "It looks abandoned, Hammersong. You need to listen." He goes, fine. "It looks abandoned, but you're saying that there's a bunch of dead guards in there now." And she looks and she goes, "Look, these men killed them, right?
They were defending." "We did you the courtesy of bleeding the slavers."
If you speak of slavery here," and he kind of like walks up to you, it's kind of like an affront, right? to the whole thing, and so he's like a little offended by it. Not like offended by you, but like the idea of it, right?
Yeah.
"And so, that's a heavy accusation you have there, Sir Benson."
"I'm sorry to bring it to your doorstep, but it is the truth."
"And it seems like it's not at your doorstep, but rather inside the house already. We're just bringing them, kicking them to the curb."
"Fine. I will personally walk with two of my trusted men to go check this place out."
Garn like leans in close and he's like, "Trust no one."
I understand. If you say you fought some of my guards, then I'm I will use my most trusted ones.
And like Garn has a crazy look in his eye. Oh, so I don't know how much he takes it to heart, but Garn looks like he's like wild eyed.
He's like, "Don't shifty. Trust anyone. including me. And you're like, wait, what?
And I forget, there were the two guards that we talked to outside. We got in with them, we distracted them and got rid of them, right? So they're still out there, right?
Because you guys came back later. And those two guards were not one of the ones you fought.
They were kind of like weird too, because wasn't it like, what's going on in that house? And they were like, yeah.
We could track down these other two guards. We didn't dispatch them.
Does this person, does he run the guard?
Yeah, Hammersong is like the head of that guild, of the Guild of Arms, yeah.
So, who wants to bring that up? I think Gard has said his crazy talking piece.
Yeah, Kaz brought it up. There were two other guards who were fishy about the house. We managed to get in it later. But if they're still on patrol, or if we could identify them for you, we could question them. Maybe we could get some more leads.
Well, and these men, they were just on patrol over there, you say?
They were on patrol, but they were particularly protective over this shack.
They clearly knew something was going on inside.
Well, if it's up towards the wall, then I'll have to check with Chisel Rock and the other ones up there.
He brings some of his men, and he says he's going to go check it out. If you want to join him, you can.
Brings his men, and we're like, die!
We got anything better to do, right?
There's a part of me that kind of wants to send maybe a couple of us on ahead to try to see if the guys are patrolling, and maybe kind of lure them, be like, oh yeah, like, show us what's inside, and then maybe they think they can take us, and then the rest of them spring in, just so that they're caught, you know? So that we could positively identify them, because if they see the commander, they're not gonna you know, show their true nature like they hinted at with us.
Right. Like, we need to get them, we need to catch them acting fishy in front of the commander. Otherwise, they're just going to explain it away.
Yeah, true. I mean,
not a terrible idea.
Yeah. I mean, even if we could goad them into trying to capture us.
Yeah, like, we could just, like, try to get back into the shack, as far as they know.
Yeah. Because it hasn't been that long, so we went straight to him, so.
Yeah, honestly, like, I was just thinking, for the sake of it, between all of us, like, Ambrose could basically pose more or less as that, because he kind of looks the less athletic out
That's
of
true.
All of you. So, like,
this
they
is capture.
Yeah, so they would be like, oh, they're like easy pickings, like, something like that, you know? But, and he can act. I mean, it's the thing. But I was thinking like that, though, because, I mean, like, it seemed like when they were like, yeah, you go take a look, and then, I mean, he could just be, like, looking out there, you know, and all that stuff. Redo that scenario.
Because if there's four guards on the inside, two on the out, that's six right there. That's a pretty substantial infiltration into the town guard, like, already.
Yeah.
I just don't know how many more there are, but if we have an opportunity to get some more, could bode well.
Okay. If you guys join him on his way back, you see that he walks in front with his two soldiers behind him, so he leads his way there. When you get there, the door that you guys had left is cracked slightly.
Oh.
Okay.
Yeah, because I thought we locked it, so that means they had the key.
Yeah.
So when you indicating your if you look at it, or if you kind of go, oh no, somebody came back, looked inside, and left. So whoever opened it had a key, which means that they were in on it. when Hammersong goes up, he's got his giant war hammer at his side, and he knocks at the door even though it's like open. He goes,
"Commander Hammersong here. Open up now."
Waits a few seconds, and he just slowly opens up the door, and he sees just the viscera of blood everywhere. He goes,
"Torak. Oh. Is this what you dealt with?"
He's looking around. It's just like the blood spray everywhere. There's a fucking hand on the ground because John cut off one of the guy's hands.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Rather, this is what they dealt with. Us.
I see. Oh, the fact that they weren't trying to arrest you is what gives me pause, thinking that this was just some sort of misunderstanding, as I was hoping.
They skipped those pleasantries and went straight to the murdering.
Right. Oh, men, start searching for clues.
When you go into this room, they start looking around, and they find on the bodies in the back. So the office that was up in the top here. Mm-hmm. So I had misspoke, but I'm going to fix it here. They go in, and you guys had like opened it up and just kind of like flipped through real quick and didn't find anything. It appears whoever was in here since you guys left tore this place to shreds. Was like looking for something, and he's just like, "So looks like a bloody tornado came in here. What's going on?" And he starts picking up some stuff, and he sees that it is just a lot of the old stuff that you guys had seen before. It was old shipments and everything like that.
Right.
But he finds something in particular as he goes through seems to be an inventory sheet and just says products. And it's extremely vague, but there's like a certain point that he understands. It's like he's using some kind of code or something. They're using the same words, but they're not being specific enough. This has to mean something. And he tucks it away, and he says he's going to have somebody identify it and see if they can crack whatever code they're using.
Hmm.
And he said, and he just looks to you all, and he goes, "You said there were cages." And he sort of motions to the back, kind of like asking you guys.
Yeah, the makeshift ones, yes.
So he makes his way back there with his hammer, and he says, "If you're still back here, come out now, Commander Hammersong." Identifies himself. Of course, dead quiet.
Right.
And he opens up the first set of doors, goes up and opens up the second one, and he sees the makeshift cells or cages that are here. And he's like,
No, I can't believe this is happening. What's the meaning of all this? Torak. Fine, you've done good today. I appreciate your help. Stoneborn, you and your family are a blessing to the city once again.
Your words mean a lot, but this is only the beginning of a larger unraveling of this place. I've heard tales, these three here, actually these two rather, have told me tales around the fire. Of the infectious nature of this group. I was captured, tormented, and sold off myself. I was in a quarry, who knows how long, doing who knows what, waiting for what, who knows what. Their ultimate goals are abhorrent, and this must be rooted out and routed out as quickly as possible. I don't even know if my family is still alive yet. I don't know if they've taken more. But we need to stop that before it happens here, too. When I say that all your city's efforts must be turned on this right now, I mean that with every fiber of my being.
I understand. And I will make sure that we work together. Make sure that this never happens again. So long as I live, the city will be protected inside and the people outside. For now, get some rest, I think. I'm going to have someone try to transcribe this into something I can read. and we'll see what happens from there. You all have done good work, Stoneborn. I believe that your cousin said he had a reward for you if you managed to do something about this.
Well, isn't that something?
So, let me see.
I'm kind of curious, like, I guess that'd be a special check, I guess, for, what, Decipher or something?
Yeah, like, would Ambrose be trained in those sorts of, like, that's a kind of underworld-ish?
I mean, it, funny enough, he's not actually trained in underworld, but he's not that. He's more with law, legality, stuff like that.
Let me take a look at it. I understand pig Latin.
But he is. He's quite an expert.
Well, I think it's time for us to head back and at least get a full night's rest.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
There is Decipher Writing, which is a society skill check. You attempt to decipher complicated writing or literature on an obscure topic. That's not really, like, decoding.
No.
Yeah, not really.
No,
it'd probably fall under thievery if I had to guess. It feels like some Thieves Guild stuff.
Yeah.
Or maybe deception. I could see it falling under deception because you're deceiving the reader.
Yeah. I could say deception or thievery. Either or.
Or it'd be an applicable lore or something.
I feel like there has to be a skill for this somewhere.
Right.
Yeah, it's probably very particular.
Which one do you think, Jake?
I think it would be perception, but I think in order to decode something, it would take time. Yeah. Which is the point here is that, like, you know, he has people specially trained for it. Got so. It.
Garn's, you know, a little paranoid.
I mean,
sure, so.
I'm thinking it too. Makes sense. But how do you trust those people?
It feels like the Silver City Part 2, because it was Grimshaw in the city not trusting anyone, and now it's like Garn has a familiar connection here, and he's like, trust no one, because he was captured by that.
The Eye of the Wise gives you a +2 item bonus to decipher writing. Decipher writing, disable device, identify magic, pick lock, seek, or sense motive.
Sick.
Kind of dope.
That is pretty cool.
Okay, so when you guys get back, so it was not... it was Dolgendir that actually had something for you, because Algra was the person that he was looking
right.
for.
Yes.
I thought his cousin was just being nice.
Stoneborn had told you guys about Zamak, who's the newlywed that went missing. So, if you find him, maybe there's something there too.
I don't know.
So when you guys get back to Dolgendir, and Algrid is there, and she's in a meeting with him as you guys walk up, you can tell that they're in his room, and they're clearly talking over what happened. There are people that are working fabric and stuff like that as you walk in and doing different jewelry making and stuff. They come up and they go, "Oh, are you the person, you're the people Dolgendir is looking for, right?"
"Yes, I believe so."
Okay, he just went into a meeting with Olgrit. She's back. Isn't that amazing?"
"Why, yes, we were there."
She didn't look pregnant.
Sometimes things happen.
Oh, no.
Oh, I wouldn't look too much into it. Now, please, can we go inside?
He's meeting with her. I'm sure they have a...
They're expecting us.
Yes.
If you're sure, I can go ask. She goes up and knocks on the door, and you hear Dolgendir go, "Yes, can I help you?" And she's like, "Oh, your friends are here," and the door opens real quick. And he goes, "Friends, you found Algrit. Please come in." And so they're sitting around a big fancy table and they're talking about what happened. And so she's telling all the stuff that she had, that she had told Hammersong to him, and blah, blah, blah. And he goes, "Well, you all have done a great service for me. It's, I can't tell you how much I appreciate it, but I can show you how much I appreciate it." And he goes, "Go into that closet right there." And there's a large armoire, big, thick wood, some dark wood or something he got shipped in from somewhere.
I have to warn you, I've been told I have a lumpy body that does not conform to most clothing.
I'm sure this will fit each one of you. And if you open it up, there is a large bear skin.
Oh, hmm.
That is clearly meant to be worn as a cloak.
Ooh. Wait, are you saying this is the Tactical 3.0 bearskin hoodie? Do you guys get those ads?
Yes, I do.
That thing looks waterproof and almost tactical.
Men's apparel, like, advertising is just the best.
Everything's yeah, so tactical. Funny.
Yeah. Tactical and rugged. Ready for battle.
And like, I'm pretty sure it's like a European company, and it's like a European trying so hard to sound like American man.
American manly, yeah.
Hey, you know what? It fucking works.
Wait, are you wearing your tactical bearskin hoodie right now, Mark?
Oh, totally. I mean, with how cold it is, I feel nothing at all, to be honest.
I'm wearing my tactical underwear.
Feels like I'm going 10 degree weather and be fine.
So this bearskin cloak is
tactical bearskin cloak.
This tactical bearskin cloak. If you wear it, it can go up over the head like a hood. But the arms are still attached to the bearskin, and so you like tie that around, like that's how you fasten it to yourself.
God damn. Okay.
It goes down to about the knees. So it would go down to about Garn's feet.
Right.
But he goes, that's for you, whichever one of you wants it. I think it'll be a great addition to the adventurers like yourselves.
Yeah, we're on it.
Yeah.
I've already got two cloaks.
This seems like, for some reason, like a barbarian thing anyway.
Yeah, right?
23.
23, you can definitely tell it's magical.
Maybe you could just tell us.
Tell me.
I can see you're eyeing it up. Let me tell you what it is. That is something I've named the Berserker's Cloak.
Oh!
So this is item level 12.
Oh!
This bearskin includes the head and bared teeth of a mighty creature from which it was taken. Obviously a grizzly bear. When worn, the cloak drapes over your head and around your shoulders, imbuing you with the bear's ferocity. If you have the rage action, while raging, you grow jaws that deal 1d10 piercing damage, and claws that deal 1d6 slashing damage, and have the agile trait. This transformation is a morph effect, and both jaws and claws are unarmed attacks in the brawling weapon group, blah blah blah. You gain the benefits of a +1 potency rune and a striking rune with these attacks. If you have an animal instinct and bestial rage instinct ability, instead of gaining these unarmed attacks. So if somebody went into druid or something like that and went that way.
Oh no, it's if you have the animal instinct, then you get the benefits of +2 and a greater striking rune.
Oh, sorry.
Rune. So if you have animal instinct, it's like so broken.
Yes, yeah. Yeah, because you transform into like a bear hybrid thing, yeah. But yeah, so I think Kezra is the only one that has a rage. So.
About to say,
oh my gosh.
I was about to say, Kelly is the only one. I mean, either.
And it's 2d10. It would be 2d10.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my, or 2d10 for the jaw, or 2d6 for the claws. Yep. That's better than your Cornigan claw, right?
The Cornigan claw is pretty decent. That's 2d4 plus 1d6 fire.
Plus the special effects.
Yeah, plus that. So I mean, for one, 2d10. getting a jaw attack.
2d10 jaws is very good.
But Kelly,
yeah,
the aura farming you could do with Kezra wearing a bear skin cloak.
Have you guys seen Workaholics?
Oh, you're talking that one. Yeah, when they're wearing the
I think it's the first episode where Blake has like a bearskin cloak on, and he just turns around and he goes, "For sure." So Doug and Deer, does Kezra put it on right away?
Yep.
Yeah.
So Doug and Deer goes, "You look like a million bucks."
I know it. This thing's real warm. I like it.
That does every turning rune, so he accidentally loses it. It comes back to him.
Because he puts it on, and he's just like, he takes these like deep, like bestial breaths. He's just like, feels his power. I do have a cloak already. Let's see.
Wait, dude.
What cloak do you have?
Yeah.
I have the Cloak of Colors. Dude. Which is pretty decent, but I don't think I've used it yet. This cloak of swirling colors shroud the target, creating a... Creatures are dazzled while adjacent to it, and attacking the target causes a brilliant flash of light. A creature that hits the target with a melee attack must attempt a will save. That creature is then temporarily immune until the end of its turn. The effect has the incapacitation trait. On a failure, the attack is blinded for one round.
I don't think you've ever used that.
Wow, the Cloak of Swirling Colors. Creatures are dazzled while adjacent to it. Just all the time.
What? That's passive?
That's the passive portion. The active portion, the will save is the blind. And a critical fail is the attacker is stunned for one round.
Wait.
This thing's really fucking good.
I was about
good.
To say.
I don't see it on the sheet.
No, okay. It's two actions and the duration's 1 minute.
Okay, so like combat.
You activate the Cloak of Colors.
Where?
Not on the church? Oh, it's a Cloak of Colors. Sorry.
Oh, I was like,
okay.
I can't read.
Okay,
okay.
That makes sense.
It's a decent scroll. Yeah. I should probably use it on one of you guys.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, like, yeah, I don't know, no, Benson, yeah, maybe? Yeah. Okay.
So.
Okay.
You
have the Cloak of Prestidigitation.
Yeah, this thing's a little better than that.
Yeah. That was Adelar's cloak, though.
Yep.
Just tosses the cloak away, like...
Kicks it.
This is trash.
Carries it around like a blankie.
Aww, I kind of like the idea of kids are sleeping with it. So like...
Sometimes smells it. It's kind of fun.
Doesn't smell like him anymore.
Well, no, that's you just put on the cloak and then you say, you wish in your head that it smells like Adelar and it would. Wow, that's so tragic.
That's so sad.
That's so sad.
It smells like Adelar. It smells like money.
It smells like gold and cheap wine.
You guys are cleared with Dolg and Deer. You got Algar back. Nice. They're gonna be looking for any details in that piece of paper that they found.
Right. But I guess Algret wasn't able to glean any information on what might have happened to Zamak. That's the punchline.
No, okay. No. So she wasn't able to. She never saw Zamak.
Right.
If you ask.
Right.
But she knows that there was somebody else that was talking to these guards, and so that's the thing, is that like she picked up from the conversation about how like they were planning on selling her, talking, referring to her as product and blah blah blah. So that's what you guys got so far. Eventually, at a certain point, you guys will have to check in with Hammersong again to see what he was able to deduce. You guys have some other tasks that you want to go do? I will say that there was a large list. I don't know if you guys actually wrote them down. Did you?
I have a list of people, but I don't know if I have a list of peoples and their associated tasks.
Okay. So, let's see. You could go talk to... So that was the missing persons one.
Should we check in with Frastin to let him know that we didn't find Zamok, but we have like some more information, and then maybe he would kind of give us kind of tip our hand on maybe where we would be needed next. Like maybe he could kind
of
like.
I mean, it would also be good to have him on the inside of things too, just to be like, hey, this is what's happening.
Yeah. And I think Garn would feel. Right, Garner would feel motivated to check in with Frastin after we've, like, you know, kind of tied it up here with Algrit.
Yeah. Okay. So you make your way back to Frastin Stoneborn.
He's in like the temple, right?
Yeah. He was in the temple district. When you go up, there's a lot of the acolytes still walking around and stuff like that. And he is patiently waiting for you, and he appears to be talking to somebody. When you walk up, it is clear that it is Archmage Nalrevin of the Guild of Spells. So they are not like debating, but they're sort of like joking and talking about magic in a friendly manner. Where Frastin is talking about, you know, the divine magic and what it can do because it's the power of the gods, and Nalrevin is just like, but the mysteries of the arcane, Frastin, you must know. You must know that there's things out there that you'll just never understand because it's your god's mind is so far above yours, right? That's what I'm trying to find out. And then so they go back and forth like that.
Yes.
And so,
good. Yeah, Garn kind of walks up and is like, oh, cousin, I see you never cease in your debatings.
Cousin, please tell this man, you're a man of Gorv now, you say?
Oh, well, it's a little complicated. My connection to Gorum seems to have changed recently. I heard you talking about the mine of a god is higher and searching out the mysteries. Perhaps maybe we should talk sometime. I'm trying to search out some mysteries for myself. But Frastin, I have a rock to pick with you, because it seems that upon setting us out on a quaint little fetch quest for a man with in a lover's quarrel has sent us upon a deadly path. And Garn kind of like lifts up his shirt and he's like, this new one right here is from our last encounter with some corrupt city guard. I think you better sit down for this.
It was what? You was that guy sent you on some suicide mission?
Well, it wouldn't be the first time that you sent me off for a quaint little trot about town and I came back with a bruise or a scar or two.
They were just manticores. I knew you could handle them.
It's always just a manticore. It's always just a manticore until it isn't just a manticore, until it's three manticores.
So he brings you in and he sits you down, and Nalrevin is there. And he goes, so tell me what things I supposedly sent you on here, cousin.
Well, after trying to look into Zamok, I discovered that there's underground gambling ring that has infested the town. But more than that is, we believe the presence of an insidious organization known as the Scarlet Triad. And I stare very deeply into, like, his eyes when I say that, and I'm also casting a glance at, like, the wizard dude, too.
Yeah, Nalrevin, yeah.
Yeah,
Nalrevin. They sort of look at you and they're like, why are you looking at us like that?
Because their mode of, I guess, they infect like a disease. Like a curse that can't easily be broken. They spread across the whole vibrancy of a town, and before you know it, every corner behind every door is someone who is loyal to them. That is how they work. At least that's what I've been told, and that's what I've witnessed firsthand, with how people from my own village turned in by their own neighbors, working against each other for the plot of this Scarlet Triad, all for the almighty coin. We found Algrit in a facade of a building turned into a makeshift prison. This Zamak, we believe, has met a similar fate. We think he's been trafficked by the Scarlet Triad. See, the product that they deal in, they're merchants of a kind, but they're merchants in flesh and bone like you and me. I advised that, Warsong, right?
Hammersong.
Hammersong. I advise that Hammersong contact the council and start investigation into this immediately. He said he would start looking into it, but given that we came right away to you and you have not gotten the summons yet, we will tell you as well that this is not something to be trifled with. Now, we will continue to keep eye out for Zamak, but more importantly, you need to start watching your backs. Because now that the Scarlet Triad has been potentially exposed, they might be looking to clean up loose ends. And he looks around at us. We are the loose ends. But if there are too many to burn away, then we stand a better chance. So even by me here telling you this, you have become one of the loose ends that could be cleaned up.
Strength in numbers.
Strength in numbers.
Strength in numbers indeed. Well, this is quite concerning, the information that you're bringing me, cousin, but I trust you know what you're talking about. You and I both got hit on the head plenty of times, but I know we'd made well. And Nelrivan is just like, you meant to tell me that there's some sort of things happening directly below our noses?
He has a very large wizard nose, so the Stoneborn is just like, it's quite easy for you, but listen, if there is something here, Hammersong would take care of it, I'm sure of it.
He's been doing that for years. He protects us. It's his job.
His own guards attacked us. No one can be trusted.
Oh, that's what has me worried, is that he runs a tight ship. Tizarok, he guards the walls. Hammersong, he equips us and makes sure that we're ready for combat at any time. And everyone here has something that they're in charge of, so...
Exactly. No one expects the attack to come from within the walls. That's the issue. When everyone has a common enemy on the outside, sometimes they forget to check on the inside.
Hammersong's certainly been helpful and cooperative so far. But as we've known, as what we've seen so far, can't be too careful. If he runs as tight a ship as you all say, then how could an operation like this fall right under his nose with his own men?
Right. Perhaps he's been too trusting. It's easy to gain forces when that's out there, and he points north to the undead city.
Or when that's out there, and he points, southeast to where he found the gambling ring.
Enough with that. The gambling ring is legal! What are you talking
about? We all go there.
We all go there. It's an open secret, okay? God.
So, Frastin does a little incantation and puts something on the ground, and it's this zone of truth.
Ooh, heck yeah.
Get me out of here!
He goes... No. He goes...
Attribute of strike, what?
He goes, Nelrivan, do you know anything about this?
And Nelrivan just shakes his head.
No, I was here because I was hoping to talk to your cousin. I know nothing about this.
Wait, you are trying to talk to me?
Well, I was trying to talk to you, but mostly to him, and he points to Kezra.
Oh, to Kezra?
Yeah.
What did he order in?
What do you owe this man, Kezra?
Which man?
You guys had all said something along the lines of, a gate that you walk through.
Oh, stop. Word instead of truth.
Oh, shit.
I am interested in this gate, if you don't mind. It's gotten boring here, to be honest. would it be possible for you to escort me to this gate of yours? Your secret is safe with me.
And he points at the Zone of Truth, meaning that he's not going to tell anybody.
Other than your boredom with your current situation, what is your interest in the gate? That you'd, it is quite a distance from here.
For a man of the arcane as myself, anything that can transport someone across any distance like that, built into the stone, I have to know more. I have to at least see it. You can leave me there when you escort me, but I don't want to be walking through the city myself. I would be tapped for magic by the time I got there.
What about the return journey? If we leave you there, you still would have to get back.
Well, of course, but it'd be a long time if you, if you're honest about how magically imbued this gate is.
Do you have any sort of speaking stone with which we can keep in contact with you with?
I have magics that I could use.
And he can you know, communicate. He's a very high level wizard, yeah. So he could communicate over some stuff with you guys.
I've got a Motorola Razor.
You can also probably just teleport back home.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yes. Use a Nokia.
Well, we could take you there. However, with the way things are going around in this city, we would be remiss if you didn't have some sort of cadence of checking in. Because if they are after the gate, they're after it. And if they know that we're going, and if anyone else knows that we're going, you will be swarmed and you will be taken captive as well. And they will get you to tell them everything you know about it, because they want to go through it.
You have my word and my bond.
And he does some sort of magic incantation that it's like a sealed thing.
Yeah, shake it, grabs his hand and shakes it.
Shakes it in magic.
Oh, my hand!
it's all gnarled.
Oh, he just goes, we have a bond. If I die, you die. You're like, wait, what?
No. Wait, what?
Hold on, wait.
I didn't agree with that.
Control Z.
We are so late.
If you die in the game, you die in real life.
Trying to see how far that was, because I'm trying to remember where it was, like, in, you know what I mean?
The gate from here?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, it's an hour or two, wasn't it?
I know it was like an hour
walk.
Yeah.
I mean, shit.
We had some torches that kind of kept the evils at bay, but I'm sensing an escort quest where we're going to have fight waves of monstrosities from the darkness.
Oh, you just need magic missile to fight the darkness. God.
There you go. We'll just rely on the wizard to use all his spells.
So, I've only prepared Force Barrage.
All levels.
He just hits fingerprints.
Then a wizard, that's his whole personality.
Yeah.
I never miss.
Like, it was cool, like, you know, the first couple years of magic school. Like, by the end, he's like, oh, like, that's his thing. And now that he's, like, graduated Wizard College, like, everyone's just so annoyed with him.
That's why he's bored, because all he does is Force Barrage. Anybody up Barrage in their force?
It's like, it's okay, he also has a staff. A Force Barrage. And runs a Force Barrage. It just... Oh my god, that'd be entertaining as hell, actually.
And then all the enemies are like, yeah, but my AC is really high. And he's like, I don't give a shit.
next, like, short kind of side questy thing I do, I'm making a Force Barrage wizard.
Do you have any other spells? Yes, I do. Force Barrage.
I have higher level Force Barrage.
Heightened level 6 Force Barrage.
God, it's so much damage. It's so much damage. Just automatic damage. So while you guys are talking about the way to get there, because he's obviously interested, like, the way you're going and the path and stuff like that. Kezra, in your pocket, you feel a buzz. Bzz, bzz,
bzz, bzz. Hold on, I gotta take this.
He, like, walks over to the corner of the room. What is it?
Hello? Can you hear me?
You're coming in clear.
Hey, And I imagine it's like a video call, and Lionel doesn't know how to use it, so her like face isn't like in the frame. Like she just has no idea how this thing works.
You need to trim your nose hair. It's pretty bad.
What? I thought the kobolds were lying to me when they said that.
Killed them for nothing.
They're dead. I killed them for that.
One alive for less.
She's like,
wait, Kelly, are you holding a prop right now?
Yeah, I'm holding my touching stone.
Oh, you got like a little fidget toy?
It's a little piece of, can't remember what it's called. It's just a really smooth stone that has a nice little thumb indent on it.
Looks like a worry stone.
Oh, nice.
It's my worry stone.
So Lionel, on this call, she's like, I need to talk to Benson.
Oh, of course. Benson. Lionel needs you for something.
Benson walks up and takes hold of the stone.
What is he talking about? What do you mean Lionel needs you? I thought Lionel was back at Rachel.
He kind of, like, kind of asides to Ambrose.
They're talking some sort of device, I believe. Yeah.
Let's see.
So Benson has the stone.
Benson and Lionel are both really bad at doing this, so like they're like, no, what? I can't hear you.
You're holding it upside down.
Like, Benson, put the visor up when you're talking. It's mine.
Lionel is like, Benny, you need to come back.
What are you talking about?
I just got a letter.
From who?
Well, it was addressed to you, but I opened it. It's from home.
Who's it from?
Well, it's from one of the servants, but apparently Mom's not doing well.
Shit.
How quickly can you get back?
Not quickly, but I can try. This is not... It's not easy for me to step away from this right now, are I?
I know. Listen, I fucking hate her too, but if... We gotta go home,
I'll do what I can. I'll see you in a fortnight. Well, actually not a fortnight. See you in, hopefully a couple
PUBG.
Of days.
Sorry.
PUBG. Damn it.
I'll be there as soon as I can.
Thank you. Thank you, Benson. And I'll see you guys next time.
No! Benson's mom!
Back to Breach Hill.